Okay, let's get into Sefer Shoftim, Perek Beis. We started Shoftim yesterday, and now we get into Perek Beis. Perek Beis is also somewhat of an introduction to the entire Sefer, as we will see. Perek Beis discusses that Malach Hashem comes from Gilgal to Bochim. Why is it called Bochim? Because what happens there? But the Malach Hashem, who Rashi quotes as Pinchas, says, a little Jewish history, that I brought you up out of Mitzrayim, talking obviously in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I told you not to make any treaties with the nations that live here, and you haven't listened, and you haven't driven them out, and as we alluded to at the end of the last parak, they're going to cause you problems, they're going to be thorns in your side, you better do tshuva. And all Bnei Yisrael start crying. That's why it's called Bochim. That's why it's called crying. And the Navi starts repeating, what happened? And Yoshua came and split up the land that he told you, you have to drive out the rest of the nations, that they didn't finish the job during his lifetime, and Yoshua died, and the whole nation that was alive with Yoshua died, and this is a new dar, and you're not following his path, and you're learning from the other nations, and you're serving Baal and Ashtaroth, and Hashem's getting angry, and he's going to give you over into the hands of the enemies. And the Navi describes here that this is what's going to happen over the next 20 Prakim. Bnei Yisrael are going to follow the nations, and then Hashem's going to make him a shofet for them, and the shofet is going to lead them and save them, and then after the shofet lives for a certain number of years and leads them, so then Bnei Yisrael are going to falter again and go down, and the whole cycle is going to happen over and over and over again. And this is what the Perek foreshadows in this regard before it even gets into the first shofet, which Bez Hashem we will get to in the coming pshat, in the first actual story when Bnei Yisrael do evil and fall into the hands of Eglon, the king of Moab, which will be in the next Perek. But this Perek, the first two prakim, are really a segue from Sefer Yehoshua, where a job was not finished, to setting the tone, setting the stage for all of Sefer Shoftim. One of the more, we might call it, full of Bnei Yisrael's ups and downs throughout the Sefer. This Perek still sets the stage for that. Okay, so let's now go through the Perek and glean some of the messages. So the Perek starts off, Vaya'al Malach Hashem min HaGilgal el HaBochim. The Malach Hashem goes up from Gilgal to Bochim. And it's called Bochim al Shem HaAsid. Rashi quotes, Shanina b'seder olam ze haya Pinchas. Pinchas always appears, right? Pinchas appeared by the Meraglim in Sefer Yehoshua. Pinchas is now the Kohen Gadol. Remember, because at the end of Sefer Yehoshua, Elazar has died. So Aaron has died, Elazar has died, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. So Pinchas is now the Kohen Gadol. He is called in the Pasuk a Malach Hashem. Why is he called a Malach Hashem? So there are a number of sources and Makaros that point to the parallel between Malach Hashem, Malachim, and leaders. Says the Medrash in the beginning of Ayikra, V'chim Malach Haya, V'alo Pinchas Haya, V'lo Makar Shmo'im Oso Malach, why is it called a Malach? Ela Amar Rebbe Simon, Pinchas, B'shah Shehaisa Ruach HaKodesh Shore Alav, Hayupanav Bo Aros Kalapitim. When he had the Ruach HaKodesh on him, when he was doing the work of God, his face was shining. Shining like a Malach. Right, the Gemara has in a number of places, Ki Malach Hashem Tzavakosu, if your leader is as pure as a Malach, so then you have to follow him and listen to him, and if not, not. So our leaders are called Malachim. The Pasuk even in the Torah refers to Moshe Rabbeinu in one place as a Malach. So even though it's referring to a human being here, still we know that a human being, a leader, a Talmid Chacham, could be called a Malach Hashem. The Medrash says the same thing in Bamidbar Rabbah in Perek Tezayin. Says the Musar HaNeviim, the Rav from Denver, Madregas HaMalachi, what's the parallel between a Malach and a leader? Someone who acts objectively, totally L'Shem Shamayim. A Malach Hashem does that without Bechira Chafshas, a real Malach. But a human being who can elevate themselves and act objectively for the sake of God, so that also, that person reaches the level of a Malach as if he doesn't have Bechira. Ironically, we have Bechira Chafshas, but the ultimate level that we could reach is to the point when we feel like we don't have any Bechira Chafshas and we have to do the will of God. That's the ultimate level that we could reach. But that's the goal of life, to have Bechira and come to the level that we don't have Bechira. That's what the Musar HaNeviim says right here. Madregas HaMalachi She'en Lo Shum Negiya Atzmis. Nothing personal, nothing subjective. V'chol Mashihu Oseh Lo L'chvod Atzmahu Doresh Kim L'chvod HaMakam. It's all for Hashem. Just like a Malach. V'chein Madregas HaRav Tzricha Lios Shelo Yedoresh K'vod Atzmo Kim K'vod Shamayim Bilvad. The parallel between a leader of Am Yisrael, a true leader of Am Yisrael, and a Malach. Both of them are acting purely for the sake of God. Okay, so that's the first pasuk. The Malach Hashem Pinchas comes to Bochim and starts giving a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayomer. Al Eschem Mitzrayim, Avi Eschem Al Haaretz. I brought you up from Mitzrayim. I brought you to Eretz Yisrael. Va'omar, and I said, Lo Afer Brisi Yitzchem La'olam. I promise I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. You keep banging on me and making it difficult for me, but I promise I'm never going to leave you. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu promise that? So this is a beautiful Maharal in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara tells us a very well-known Tosfos in Shabbos and Daf Peches. Tosfos asks the question, how do two psukim work with each other regarding the event of Maimon Har Sinai? One pasuk, the most famous pasuk regarding Maimon Har Sinai in Parshas Mishpatim, Nasev Nishma, we'll do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're ready, we'll follow you, no matter, even though we don't understand anything. Nasev Nishma. And yet, Chazal Darshan, based on the pasuk that we stood neged hahar by Har Sinai, Chazal Darshan there in Shabbat Tapechesam and Aleph, that Hashem held the mountain over our heads like a barrel, Kafalim Harkagigas, and made us an offer we can't refuse. If you accept the Torah, fine. And if not, Shem take for Aschem. I'm going to drop the mountain. So, ask Tosfos. Was it forced, or was it not forced? Did we say, Nasev and Ishma, we'll accept the Torah? Or no, Hashem forced us. So Tosfos gives a difficult-to-understand answer. We know he's saying something important, but it's hard to know what he says. Tosfos says, V'yaf al pishekvar hekdimu Nasev and Ishma, Shema yihiyu chozrim kisheyiru ha'esh agdola. They said Nasev and Ishma, but Hashem was worried they might retract. They might be scared, because they'll be so scared and in awe. As we know, the Gemara tells us, they all died after the Hashem spoke, and there was Tchias HaMesim, and Dibur Sheni, they died again. Hashem did Tchias HaMesim. That's why he said, you know, let Moshe talk to us. But they were going to be scared, so Hashem said, you know what, I'm going to force it upon you. Even though he said, Nasev Nishma, I'm going to force it upon you, Kavalem HaKagigas. So that's what Tosfos answered the question. They were both true. The question is, so it was forced. So if we would have retracted, Tosfos said, Hashem didn't want us to retract. But then he forced us, then Nasev Nishma is meaningless then. Because we didn't really mean it, we might have retracted. So the Maharal says, no, there's a much deeper meaning in Tosfos. And that is that Hashem, as we know, created the world to be dependent on Am Yisrael accepting the Torah. Right? Yom HaShishi, the whole world was held in abeyance until the sixth day of Sivan, until we accepted the Torah. And if we wouldn't have accepted the Torah, the world would have gone back to nothingness, to tohu vavohu. So, says the Maharal, once Bnei Yisrael accepted, Hashem didn't want to have what he calls a relative existence, but an absolute existence. Hashem didn't want it to be that, oh, we accepted the Torah and therefore the world exists. And if at some time in the future we would say, we don't want the Torah anymore, so then the world wouldn't exist. No. Hashem wanted the world to have an absolute existence. Once we accepted the Torah, he forced it upon us. He said, you are taking it, you are my nation, and that's it. And he even quotes the Medrash in that tells us, applies Hashem's forcing the Torah upon us, comparing it to a ma'anes, a rapist, to the halacha says in Parshas Kisesi, Velosia Leisha, Loyuchal Shachal Kol Yomav. Ma'anes can never divorce his wife if the wife wants to get married. Loyuchal Shachal Kol Yomav. So Hashem said that to us. He was ma'anis us with the Torah. He created that relationship. I will never leave you. That's this pasuk right here. Va'omar, back to here. Lo afer brisi yitchem la'olam. I will never be made for the bris. That goes back to Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the issue. Kafalei markagigas, because he wanted to have that eternal relationship with us. Good. Viatem, but now Pinchas continues and says, Lo tichrusu bris li'oshri aretz azos. Don't make any treaties. Cannot make any treaties with the nations around you. And you haven't listened. What are you doing? You're not separating yourself. You're going to learn from them. As Rav Chaim Volozhin has the beautiful line, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the non-Jew makes Havdalah. Right? We have to be a separate nation. You're not separate. They're going to cause problems for us. They're going to show that they're happy with you, and then they're going to say that they're upset at you. Every gullus throughout history, we eventually have gotten thrown out of the country. So you have to separate, that you can't learn with them. And I've also said, I will not drive them out from in front of you. They will be thorns in your side. Velo heyhem yulachem lamokesh. And Avodah Zarah, they're going to lead you astray. Again, at the time, the Gemara tells us that we can't fathom the Eitz Hara for Avodah Zarah anymore. Bowing down to a tree, to a rock, to a totem pole. We can't fathom that, the Gemara says, because they got rid of the Eitz Hara for Avodah Zarah. That's what we can't fathom it. The Gemara says one of the Amoraim was about to give shir relating to Menashe, the king, and he says, tomorrow we're going to have shir of Menashe, that Ahuvet Avodah Zarah. And that night he had a dream. Menashe came to him in a dream and said, you don't make fun of me. If you were alive in my day, you would have been running after me, my coattails. So he gets up the next day, he's like, okay, I apologize for having that formulation. We're going to learn about Menashe without having the description afterwards. So we can't fathom a lot of what happens in Tanakh, all the Avodah Zarah. But we have to realize at that time it was a tremendous taiva, a tremendous desire, and that's why all the warning, get rid of them because they worship other gods and you are going to be led astray if you keep them in. So after this warning, Am Yisrael realized their mistake. They didn't really act upon it, but they cried. Vayisuam es kolam vayivku, vayikru shem makom ahu bochim. They cried, vayizbechu sham lashem. And they gave karbanos as an act of tshuva. They gave karbanos. The Meshech Chachma asks, karbanos? How could they give karbanos? Right? It doesn't say they gave karbanos in the Mishkan. We know the Mishkan is already set up. We learned that in the Sefer Yoshua. In Perek Yud Ches in Yoshua, they came to Shiloh, they set up the Mishkan. So, what are they bringing karbanos here for? How are they allowed as an Isser Bamos? Right, once Shiloh was destroyed, so to speak, at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, where the Plishtim take the Aron, then there was a Heter of Bamos, building a Mizbeach, wherever you wanted, until the base of Mikdash was built. But in the interim, right now, by Shiloh, the 369 years that the Mishkan was built in Shiloh, so you can't give karbanos wherever you want. So ask the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, Pasach Ches. He says, one of his students was learning Sefer Shoftim. Very unusual. Meshech Chachma hardly calls any of his students. Hikshali echad milomdai lamad b'shoftim perik beis pasuk hey that they gave karbanos. He says, how could they give karbanos? Shiloh is still in order, and they weren't allowed to give karbanos. He quotes v'zeh kushya atzuma. This is a huge question. How do you understand this pasuk? They're not allowed to bring karbanos anywhere. V'heshafti, he says, I answered as follows. The idea of the Mishkan forbidding karbanos anywhere else in the world is only when the Aron is in the Mishkan. When the Aron is in the Mishkan and everything is functioning properly, that's the source for the Kedusha of the Mishkan. So that's what creates a Mishkan. Rav Soloveitchik even said this regarding the second Beis HaMikdash. Right, where does the Kedusha flow from in a Beis HaMikdash? It flows from the Torah, from the Luchos, from the Aron. By Yesheni, the Kodesh Kedashim was empty. There was nothing in there. Ah, so why was it Kadosh? Why was it called the Beis HaMikdash? Because it was there. We know that it was hidden deep down under in the secret passageways, in the storage places, which Shlomo HaMelech already built, and Yoshio HaMelech put the Aron there. So that itself is the Mekadesh. Without that, there wouldn't be a Beis HaMikdash. There wouldn't be Kedusha. And Rav Soloveitchik even said maybe that's the source of Kedusha for a shul. A shul without a Torah doesn't have a full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, because it's the Torah that's Mekadesh. So too says the Meshech Chachma here. The source of the full status of Mishkan is only when the Aron is there. And we learn, says the Meshech Chachma, in the last parak in Sefer Yehoshua, you can look back to it, in Parak Chavdalid, all the Jews gathered together right before Yeshua dies. Where do they gather together? Vayesov Yeshua, Parak Chavdalid in Yeshua. He gathers as Kol Shifte Yisrael, Shechema. He gathers them to Shechem. And Vayesyatzvu Lefnei HaElokim, they stand in front of Elokim. Who's that? What do you mean Elokim? Says the Radak, right there, they brought the Aron. They brought the Aron to Shechem. Says the Meshech Chachma, this story that we just read, this took place right after Yeshua died. So the Aron must still be in Shechem. And that's why the Mishkan doesn't have full status in Mishkan, and therefore there's no Isser of Bamos. Unbelievable, creative shot. Reading the Psukim, says the Meshech Chachma. And he says, Ubo Rea Mitas Tavazeh, this is true. And he goes through all the Psukim, and he proves that this is correct. But again, there is no Isser, because he says, following the end of Sefer Yehoshua, the Mishkan was not, the Aron was not in the Mishkan at this moment, it was in Shechem, and therefore the full halachas don't apply. Good. Now, Pinchas gives a little Jewish history still. Vayishalach Yeshua Sa'am, we know what has occurred. All the people here might not have been around. So now Pinchas is explaining to them. Yeshua sent the Am, and they spread out in Eretz Yisrael, splitting up. And Am Yisrael vayavdu emes Hashem, kol yimei Yehoshua, v'chol yimei Zakenim. And everybody served Hashem in the days of Yeshua. Interestingly, not for now, but Yehoshua in Pasuk Zion is spelled with two vavs. Most of the time, Yehoshua is spelled Yud, Hey, Vav, Shin, Ayin. And here is spelled one time with a Vav after the Shin also. Might be significance to that, not for now. Asher Roas, Kol Maaseh Hashem HaGadol. They, in the times of Yeshua, they served Hashem. Yeshua ben Nun died, Eved Hashem, as he's called. Ben Me'av Esr Shanim, 110 years old. They buried him in his Nachla in Timnas Cheres. We noted then that Chazal say, sometimes it's called Timnas Cheres, sometimes it's called Timnas Ches, right, not only, right, with the Chazal, Rashi quotes it here, I think again, Timnas Cheres, al shem shehemidu tzmunas cheres al kivro. Because, why is it called Timnas Cheres? If you look elsewhere, at the end of the of Sefer Yoshua, it's called Timnas Serach, not Timnas Cheres. Flip around the letters. Why is it called Cheres here, a shard? Chazal say, because they built on his kever a shard that looked like the moon. To remind everybody, you know who's buried here? The man who made the sun and the moon stop. Shemesh v'givon domi areach pe'emak ayalon, as we discussed at length in Sefer Yoshua. That's why it's called Cheres here, even though earlier it was called Serach. The question, again, that we dealt with a little bit then, but it's repeated here, is how could they build a shard of the moon? There's an Issa d'Araisa. You're not allowed to build a statue of the sun, of the moon, of any of the constellations, or of a human being for that matter. So the big question is on this Chazal. Rashi quotes it, right? How can they build it? So the Achronim get into the action here in terms of La Halacha. What's the how is it mutter? Maybe it wasn't it was recessed. It wasn't an outward physical. It was like a picture, right? Like pictures. The beginning of photography. Some poskim were worried, but the main goal of now is to assume there's not a problem taking a picture of a person, right? So the so there too. Maybe it was recessed. Maybe it was made for them by the non-Jews. Maybe they bought it from a non-Jew. But either way, that is why he was buried in Timnas Cheres. Why it's called Cheres here in Har Ephraim. And that whole generation, Pinchas continues, has died out. And now a new generation is coming. So what happens here? Vaya'asu b'nei Yisrael sarah b'nei Hashem. And Pinchas says, look what's happening now. We're following. This is what's going to happen throughout the Sefer. We are following Ra. We are doing Ra b'nei Hashem. Vaya'avdu asa ba'alim. We are serving the Ba'al. Ba'al is a specific Avodah Zarah, but all Avodah Zarah is also known as Ba'al, because Ba'al means a master. If somebody assumes that there's a certain power, that's their master, that's their Ba'al. The Radak says, Heim ka'adon. They are like a master to those who serve them. And this is what occurs in Sefer Shoftim. There's a very important tziv relating to our parak. Hopefully we'll do it in Parshas here next summer, Be'ez Hashem, if I remember it. And that is a tziv in Parshas Vayelech. The tziv notes there in Parshas Vayelech that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells Moshe that the future, he says, your children are going to go off the derech. But in the same pasuk, you have two phrases. Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Tezayin. Hayom Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shochev Mavosecha, you're going to die, Moshe. V'kam Ha'amazeh V'zana Acharei Elohei Nechar Ha'aretz. The nation is going to commit znus with Avodah Zarah. Asher Hu Bashama Bekirbo V'azavani V'eferes Brisia Karati Ito. And then the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, I don't have it in front of me. The next pasuk says again, Ufana El Elohim Acherim. Says the Netziv, what is it repeating? Vizana, Ufana. Says the Netziv, let me give you a mashal. You have a husband and a wife, and the wife commits an act of znus. Act of znus, terrible. Verotze shagam, and the yesh isha ohevez as baila. She loves her husband, and she wants him to love her. And she lost herself. Vizansa b'mikre. And she had bad influences on her. But v'zegorim lo lios moseh, and what happens? V'abamakana, the husband gets very upset and starts distancing himself from her and pushing her away, and this causes her to leave her even more and leave her even more, and they start growing apart from each other. But deep down, she wishes she could be back because it was all a mistake. It was all znus. It was just a problem. Ube'emes ilo hayoladas haisas mafageshes abayla sheyimchalal znus arishon. If she had enough strength and inner fortitude, she would ask the husband, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." That's the mashal, what happened in the times of the Shoftim. B'nai Yisrael did it. It wasn't that they were rejecting God. It wasn't that they were totally they were worshiping, but more as an act of znus, not as a total acceptance of another power. That was all during the times of the Shoftim. That's what Hashem is telling the future in this pasuk. The first phrase, Vizana. They were in bad company. They didn't push out the other nations. And this is what happened. But what about in Sefer Melachim? All the Avodah Zarah of Achav and of Menashe, that's not just a znus. That's a different mashal, where a woman rejects her husband and goes out and is mizana, and she tries to be mizana more and more so that her husband divorces her, and I'm not interested in you, and get out of here. Says that's the mashal in the times of the Malachim. That's ufana elohim achayim. That's not just an act of turning away of znus, but it's rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Avodah Zarah is compared to znus, and that's the next pasuk that Hashem is alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu, but two pesukim in Vayelech, but that's two different time periods, two different types of Avodah Zarah, one in the time of the Shoftim, and one in the time of Sefer Melachim. Very crucial nitziv. So, this is what we have here, the Avodah Zarah in the times of the Shoftim. But Israel do evil in the eyes of Hashem, they serve the Baal, they leave the messages of their forefathers, and they don't remember what Hashem did for them, took them out of Mitzrayim, and did all the makos, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, Hashem's going to get angry, he's gotten angry, and throughout the Sefer, he's going to get angry, he's not going to give you the special hashgacha that he gives you. Pasuk Tezvav, B'chol asher yatsu yad Hashem, ha'isabam l'ra. And whenever they went out, the hand of God was against them, says the Malbim. You know what the secret of this Pasuk is? There are two types of punishments that we can have from Hashem. Number one, is not really a punishment as much as Hashem will just leave. He will take away his divine protection for us. What's called Hester Panim. That a second, deeper, worse, is when Hashem actually punishes us actively. That's what this pasuk is referring to. Hashem actively is going to punish us because of what we're doing. And it's going to cause a lot of problems. And what is he going to do? Vayakem Hashem shoftim. Hashem will bring a shoftim. We discussed yesterday already what's the difference between a shofet and a melech. Just to add in one more, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky notes that a shofet really, this is his formulation of the, a shofet. He goes back with a question, fascinating question. Why is shoftim a separate sefer? Why didn't Shmuel Hanavi write one big sefer? He wrote shoftim and Shmuel, have a one big sefer. Says the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, because a shofet had two functions. He was the spiritual leader and he was the military leader. Right when Shmuel Hanavi, who, according to some, was the last shofet, when they appointed Shaul, his job flipped. We'll have to talk about this more, about the Shem Shmuel Aleph. He became Shmuel Hanavi. And Shaul became Shaul HaMelech. The time of the shoftim, one person did both jobs. Spiritual leader and physical leader. But in the times of the afterwards, the king was the military leader, and the Navi was the spiritual leader. And that's why it was a different time of history, so a different time of history merits its separate Sefer in Tanakh. Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel. It is interesting that the language here is called Vayakem Hashem. Hashem appoints Shoftim. One of the differences we mentioned yesterday from the Abarbanel is that a king is appointed by Hashem, but a Shofet is appointed by the people. This is a little difficult, this language, Vayakem Hashem Shoftim, unless, says the Rinas Yitzchak, unless it just means that Hashem is behind the scenes by all leaders in the world. But it's not appointed as just like a king is appointed. Here it just means the behind the scenes way that Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem in a more general way. So we're going to do bad, and Hashem's going to give us a shofet, and the shofet is going to help us out. There's going to be different types of shoftim, as we know. Some are more spiritual than others. But v'gamel shoftim lo shameyu, but eventually they won't listen to their shoftim after the shofet gets old. And then saru maher min haderech, right, same lashon used in the Torah by the Egel, asher holcha avosam l'shmo mitzvot Hashem lo asukim, we won't follow them, and Hashem will get angry at us. Again, this is the story of the entire Sefer. Just one more thought, as the parak says at the end, Hashem says, you don't listen to me, you know what? I'm going to leave these nations and not help you out. L'man nasosbam es Yisrael. And it's all a nisayon. We find a number of times in the Torah and in Tanakh, Hashem has nisyonos for Am Yisrael. Read the whole parsha of Navi Sheker. Why does Hashem send a Navi Sheker and give him even power to do signs sometimes? It's a nisayon. There's a Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yutes, who even says the story of Tanur Shalachnai, as we know, Rebbe Lazar, made all these Nisim take place. If I'm right, Rebbe Lazar argued with Yeshua, the water will flow upstream and the tree will get uprooted. So why, and the Baskol went out, as Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. So why does Hashem allow a Baskol? That's a trick. Says Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon, it was to test the Am Yisrael. Will they listen to the laws of Halacha? right acharei rabim lahato. So Hashem sometimes says this yonos for us. So here's another one. We don't follow him. Sometimes the worse we are, Hashem gives us another nisayon. Aveira goreres aveira. And here's another nisayon. Hashem says, I'm not going to help you out if you are not following me. And that really sets the tone for the entire sefer. It's a sefer of yeridos, of goings down, and it's a sefer of alios, of Am Yisrael doing tshuva and going up, and Hashem constantly being with them. So it's a chronological story. Shimshon is the last shofet in this sefer. We will have a couple of prakim at the end of the sefer that it's only put there, not because chronologically happen later, they happen even right now at the beginning. We'll get to Pilegish Begiva and Pesel Micha. Those are separate stories that are written, that are Shmuel Hanavi put at the end of the Sefer, but we will see they overlap during the times of some of the other Shoftim. Okay, we'll have to stop here. As for next time, we'll pick up with Perek Gimel and the first story about the first Shofet. As we already had Othniel ben Kenaz, but we'll get into Eglon and Ehud and all the related issues. Okay, we'll stop here.